Okay. There's a Gemara in Brachos that doesn't appear on the sheet. And the Gemara says that there are four things that constantly require chizuk. It's the Gemara in Brachos Dav Dalet. There are four experiences that you can't just settle into pilot. That doesn't mean that any Avodas Hashem can be piloted. But certain parts of Avodas Hashem, you can assume, if they're robust, and if they're well attended to, then they'll endure. Whereas other parts of your Avodas Hashem have to be refreshed, have to be re-examined. It's Shavuos, so I'm expecting everyone in this room to re-examine, or to, first time in your life, examine how you're doing with Talmud Torah. Every year it's your Rosh Hashanah. So on Rosh Hashanah you think about how you behaved overall. And on Shavuos you think about, are you successful with Talmud Torah? We just had two shirim on Talmud Torah. Rav Lichtenstein would deliver a sicha every year, right around now, giving us a roadmap or guidelines how to gauge our success in Torah, and in particular in Talmud Torah. As I said last week, you can't let this slip. If you wake up one day 20 years from now, you're not learning Torah seriously, there's something fundamentally flawed with your Avodas Hashem, with your religious performance. You can't say, I eat kosher and I keep Shabbos, and if you don't study Torah at some level. So think about that. If you want to hear a summary of that sicha Rav Lichtenstein and why you Torah, you can probably find it. But now we're here to talk about another aspect of your Avodas Hashem that requires constant refreshment, and that's obvious to you, and that's tefillah. And you either make a decision at this stage in your life to take tefillah seriously, or you spend your whole life just bobbling around words, mumbling things you don't understand, showing up late, talking and davening. You've seen what happens when tefillah makes no sense to you. It could very, very easily go south. It could very, very easily turn into some humiliating experience. At some point, you just give up on it. And maybe you come to shul for social reasons, or maybe you just come because you're ashamed not to come, or you don't come at all. And so here's a chance over the next 2 or 3 weeks, try to get a sense of why tefillah is important, and more significantly, how to improve your tefillah. Okay, we know why tefillah is important, but the words are foreign, and we live in a world that's very, very different, and it's very hard to succeed at tefillah, and we'll see why. The original Lubavitcher Rebbe was a Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem, because he handed out amulets. So his Talmidim once asked him, Rebbe, how can we tell the difference between a real Hasidic Rebbe and a fake Hasidic Rebbe? Because there were some fakers roaming the countryside. So you know what the original Baal Shem Tov told his Talmidim? If any Rebbe tells you he has a foolproof solution for tefillah, he's a fake, because it doesn't exist. So here's the first recommendation. Don't expect to solve tefillah. You'll never solve it, especially in the modern world, as we'll see. But hopefully you'll struggle with it. And this is an example where struggle and awareness and consciousness is half the solution. If you just walk into shul every day and you're mindless and you're not paying attention and you don't recognize the struggle, then you're probably failing. If you don't come to shul, then you're definitely failing. But if you're aware of the issue, don't aspire to success or 100% success. Aspire to meaning, aspire to content, aspire to having it be a meaningful experience, each day being different. Where does tefillah come from? Why do we daven? How do we daven? So on the one hand, the Gemara says, source number base, tefillah keneged avos tiknum. Our avos davened, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov davened, and that's the paradigm or the template for our tefillah. On the other hand, the Gemara says, tefillos keneged tamidim tiknum. The paradigm for tefillos is korbanos. Day in, day out, morning and afternoon, and at night, the body parts were burned to the mizbeach. And the Gemara has a machlokas, but of course, our conclusion is they're both. Why is it important that tefillah stems from tamidim? Why is that an important aspect from korbanos? It's crucial that you understand this. Korbanos are the most rigid part of halachic experience. They're absolutely regimented, inflexible. Every morning we select one parak of Mishnayos to recite in Korbanos. It's the fifth parak of Zvachim. Does anyone know why of all the prakim, 600 prakim in Shas, all the prakim, why that's the one selected? What makes the fifth parak of Zvachim unique? Trivia question. Erev Shavuos. Ask your older brother or your Rebbe back home. The answer, you know? No. It's the only parak in Shas without a machlokas. The fifth parak of Zvachim has no machlokas. Question is why? The answer is because when you're standing in front of the Melech Malchei Amlachim, there's no room for ad hoc or free living or freestyle. You don't just behave like you're talking to your friend or to your wife. You want to feel intimacy. Guys, please don't use the phones during the shiur unless you're typing up shiur. You want to feel intimacy, but you certainly don't want to lose the gravitas of the moment. There's no room for machloksin. Machloksin doesn't mean there's a machloksin about which way was right. Machloksin means there are different ways to take a lulav. There are different ways to put on tefillin, and they're each legitimate in their own way. And Rashi chose one way, and Rabbeinu Tam chose the other. When you stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no room for creativity. Who made that mistake? The tragic mistake. Who tried to be creative in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it led to very dire consequences?
Aaron's sons.
It's a special day. It's the inauguration of the Mishkan. Let's bring a special carbon. Let's freelance. You don't. Not because Hashem is so stiff and uncompromising. It's because if you freelance, then you're reducing the gravitas and the reverence of the moment. You're treating HaKadosh Baruch Hu as your kid brother. So when it comes to carbonos, everything is so punctilious and so carefully scripted. What difference does it make? This animal, that animal. How many times I sprinkle the blood? Where I sprinkle the blood? Who? It's so suppressive of the spirituality and the connection we're trying to create. After all, just come to the base of Mikdash and offer whatever tribute suits you. Offer some biltong, because you love biltong. Or offer a Bengal tiger, because you went to Kruger Park and you saw one. And simple little animals and sheep and calves, and because you follow the procedure. Because when you stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you recognize the moment. And that's why our tefillos are so regimented. You walk into a reformed conservative, you'll see a lot of freelancing. Reform shul. And now Jimmy will get up and recite a poem to God. And Billy will play his guitar. And the choir will get up and sing hallelujah or something equivalent. Because they're looking for spontaneity and authenticity and intimacy. But then you lose transcendence. You lose the fact that you're standing in front of the Adon Habrios. You don't just say what you want, how you want, when you want. You fall back upon protocol. We say psukim that David wrote in Tehillim. V'shiri David avdecha na'alel Hashem lokein. I can make up my own psukim and talk to you, Hashem. I'll use David HaMelech's psukim. V'shiri David avdecha na'alel. When I describe you, Hashem, make up a list of Hashem's traits. The Gemara says in Brachos that someone wants daven Rabbi Chanina Shul. And he started qualifying and describing Hashem. You're this and you're that and you're that and you're this and you're strong and you're powerful and you're mighty and you're... So Rabbi Chanina waited until he was finished. And then he said, okay, siyamta l'kula shvacha demara, have you really encompassed Hashem? You've given 16 traits. There are about 6 million more waiting, infinite. And if you try to describe something infinitely and you fail, then that's a backhanded insult. What if your team just traded for a great rugby player? And at some point the coach says, you know, he'll be a good locker house force. He'll be a good clubhouse force. He'll be good in the clubhouse, helping the morale and the other teammates. That's not really why you want to pay. You're basically saying he's a bust, but hopefully he can do something. So you're going to describe Hashem partially. The only three words we use to describe Hashem are Gadol, Gibor, and Nara, because those are the words Moshe Rabbeinu used. So we follow in Moshe's trail. And our tefillos have that rigidity and regimen because they are drawn from Karbanos and because they share that same sense of standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the rigidity and the regimen and the stricture is meant to convey you're standing in front of something larger than yourself, and you don't just project your own ideas. You infuse those frameworks with your own ideas. So you say the psukim that Moshe said, or that David HaMelech said, and the tefillah of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, but it has to mean something different in 2018 than it meant in 1418 or in 818 or in 218. Because you're living a different experience, but the words are the same. You have to realize this, because a lot of people don't get it. Why am I saying old words? Why can't we just come in and say what we want, what we choose, when we want? Because then you're breaking down the transcendence of Hashem, and you're losing the gravitas. So tefillos have to be connected to karbanos. So then why do we care? Now the others stop it. Maybe they did, but why is that also a template? If the Korbanos, why do we need two templates? Why do we need two paradigms? The answer is because all of us were different human beings. And they lived through different contexts. And they personalized their tefillos. And each excelled in a different area based upon their context. And your tefillos will be different every day of your life. I give you a bracha, no two tefillos should be the same. And by studying Avram's tefillah, we'll draw one aspect of his tefillah. And Yitzchak's tefillah, a different aspect. And Yaakov's tefillah, a third aspect. And Shlomo's tefillah, a fourth aspect. It's a very important hybrid. Drawing Karbanos and drawing from Avos. So let's start with Avram very briefly. And we'll elaborate next time. And Ritz Hashem, continue to Yitzchak. Avram's tefillah is explained in a very, very strange fashion. Avram's tefillah is explained, source number two. Vayashkim Avram Baboker El Hamakom Asher Amad Shamas Pnei Hashem. Source 2, second side. What word? It's a little bit obvious, but what word in the Pasuk describes Avram's tefillah? Source 2. Amad, to stand. Standing doesn't mean davening, but for Avram it does. The first tefillah in history is described by a verb which doesn't connote articulation or speech, but standing. You know why? Guys, I will give you a secret to tefillah now. I promise you, you will think about this your whole life, and if you do, you'll be successful at tefillah. The core of tefillah is recognizing that you're standing in front of Hashem. Even if you don't say any words, you've succeeded at tefillah. Here's a hint. Try it today. In 2 hours. I promise you your tefillah will be improved. I promise you. It's an instant fix and go back to it your whole life. Forget the words. People think I'm going to improve my tefillah by going out and buying the next book that can help me understand the words better. But they're leaping and they're skipping steps. Forget the words. Try to maintain as long as you can that focus that you're standing in front of Hashem. Don't let your mind wander to sports or friends or food or home or culture or just lock in to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lock into the sense that you're... Forget the words. Just think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the words will come. The ideas will flow. Don't let your mind wander away from that encounter. It will wander, but bring it back. And that's why Avram's tefillah is defined as a nonverbal tefillah. Of course he said something. But the Torah doesn't care to relate what he said. Because for this purpose it's insignificant. In fact, if you know that pasuk, does anyone know Parshas Vayera? In what historical context does that pasuk appear? What's happening to Avram that morning? No, it's stone.
He was watching. He was making sure if Sodom survived or not after.
Very good. Basically, he sees Sodom has been incinerated. So, for all intents and purposes, Avram has nothing left to daven for. All the heavy davening happened the day before when he was pleading on behalf of these civilians, and they were killed. So the next morning he has nothing to daven for. Of course he has everything to daven for, food and sustenance, and he's crying about the loss of life, but the drama isn't there. Because the Torah specifically wants to showcase a person who has, so to speak, nothing to daven for, because the content of what he's saying isn't as important as the fact that he's standing in front of Hashem. It specifically chooses this moment because it's less content-oriented and more posture and experiential. That's why this is the moment. Avram daven every day. Why does the Torah choose this moment? Because this is a moment when, in theory, the content is less important than the experience of standing in front of Hashem. And that's why the Torah chooses this point, and that's why Avram's tefillah is described as Amad. Think about this. I promise you, in 20 years, if you go back to this, it will be a constant corrective, making sure your davening is recognizing and acknowledging the presence of Hashem. Rabbi Elazar was sick on his deathbed. Source number Beis. Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, Rabbi Kiva's Rebbe. So the Talmidim came in to visit him, and they said, Rebbe, teach us a little Torah before you die. Source 2, Part Beis. So he gave them some advice. Did you know what he told them? His final statement to them? Uchashatem mispalalim? When you daven? Du'u lefnei mi'atem omdim. He basically gave them the shir I'm giving you now. He didn't give them a sefer to better explain the words to them. He said, just keep in mind, just keep in mind that you're standing He used Avram's word. El hamakom mesher amad sham. He used Avram's word. De'uluf ne'emi atem am. Just focus on that relationship. Don't let your mind wander. Don't let your heart stray. That's why our tefillah is called the Amida. Not just because we're standing as opposed to sitting. It's a big mistake. People translate Amida as standing. It's not. It's presence awareness. Amida doesn't just mean, right now I'm omed in this room. You know, I'm sitting. I'm omed with you. It means I'm here. I'm not walking. Omed is not just the antonym of Yoshev. Omed is the antonym of Mahalich, of walking. Omed means position. Space awareness. How do you do it? Well, here are some helpful hints, technical hints. Number one, honor the experience. How do you honor the experience? I can guarantee that you'll have kavana. I don't know how good my kavana is half the time. But I honor the experience. So I make sure that my clothing is arranged properly. You think you don't have a responsibility to clothe yourself properly for tefillah? The Gemara says you have to change your clothing. You're seeing Hashem. So for some people, that means having a special uniform. Some people wear hats and jackets the whole day just for tefillah. Some people don't wear hats and jackets the whole day. But for tefillah, they have it very, very accessible. And Mordechai wears a jacket during tefillah. Some people feel that in our environment, hats and jackets just don't convey routine, respect. We don't really wear hats and we don't wear jackets outside of a context of a suit. Okay. Tuck yourself in. If your hair is disorderly, make sure your hair is appropriate. I don't understand why I still have to say this to people. I'm not piling on you guys, but how can you wear shorts to daven? What does that even mean? Is that a respectful way to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now, sometimes you have to. You're in a tiol in the middle of nowhere, and you don't have your long pants because to wear your long pants or you're going swimming. So, of course, in that context, you have to daven. But it should be obvious to you in camp. Mitzvah, when you go back to camp, then unless it's a tremendous, tremendous inconvenience, or you're going to walk 5 miles backwards, or you're going to miss davening or something. But you go back to your room, you put on long pants, and you honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's far more important than whatever you're thinking. Shut your cell phones off. I mean, off. You don't use them. Either pass this or you don't. Either train yourself now, or I promise you it's just going to get worse. It's going to be on your wrist, as mine is, and on your eyes. And in general, you have to train yourselves to healthily manage screens in your life. Otherwise, you're just going to get lost in them. You have to have the discipline to put it down an hour before you go to sleep, or 20 minutes, or else you won't sleep at night. Or when you're davening, or when you're with your family, or otherwise you just get lost in it. Your area has to be clean. Whenever I daven, I clean up my area, because I'm standing within reason. I have svarim and papers, but I'm standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If there's dirt on the floor, I pick it up. I stand at attention. I don't lean. When I see people leaning over and rocking along on chairs, you're sitting in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, there could be all different forms of respect. I'm not going to say everyone has to behave the exact same way, but be honest with yourself. Don't give yourself a discount. Don't lie to yourself. Don't acquit yourself in responsibility. I promise you, your tefillah will be totally different because you're walking into an encounter and a rendezvous with Hashem. The words will come, even if they never come. Because the way the Torah describes Avram's tefillah is not about words. But standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't leave early. Don't talk. Talking is the worst. That is probably close to screens. Hard to know these days. You're there for 45 minutes. You're there to be with Hashem. You're there to think deeply. Whatever time you spend talking is just going to break your thought process into staccato bursts of meaninglessness. You'll think for 10 seconds and then you'll talk. But not just because not talking will allow you depth and profundity. I mean, think about outside of davening. When's the last time in your life you sat in a corner and thought about one idea for 10 minutes? I'm scared to say many of you may not be able to remember that time because our attention spans are being so fractured. When's the last time you took one idea? That's called sophistication, depth. Really deeply boring into an idea, cleaving into sub-ideas, into subtle differences, nuances, dangerous balances. becoming so shallow because our time is being so aggressively challenged and broken, dismantled in the small little bursts that don't allow for deep thought. So you have 45 minutes to think about Hashem, whatever that relates to you, religion, your life, your frustrations, whatever. Why? For yourself, why would you want to deconstruct it into 30-second bursts and intermittently interrupted by talking? But even if you could be, let's say you were a machine, you could immediately lock into a level of depth of perception without time endurance, just sitting in front of Hashem. I talked about the screens before. So I have a friend who's a big, big executive of a corporation. He's in a big meeting, and some 22-year-old intern is sitting there during the meeting typing away on his cell phone. So in front of maybe 30 people, all millionaires, he stops the meeting and says, like, what are you doing? He says, well, I've got people waiting for me. He says, and you don't think I've got 1,000 people waiting for me that need my attention right now? But I'm here, and I'm giving you my full attention, and I expect you as well. It's just disrespectful to sit in a meeting. Again, if you have a need, you have to go out quickly. But to sit there and be multitasking in front of another person who's giving you their full attention, please, don't ever try them. I promise you'll get fired day one. Or you should. But I wouldn't tolerate it at a meeting. I wouldn't do it at a meeting, and I wouldn't tolerate it at a meeting. Again, if you have to send a text, excuse me, I have to step in, excuse me. Or you announce at the beginning of the meeting, my wife isn't feeling well, my child's not. I may have to pay attention. Okay, that's a different thing. The person knows that you've got a special pressing emergency. Your flight's leaving, updated, whatever, things of that sort. But just your normal chit-chat and WhatsApp to your friends while someone's giving you their full attention is prepared. That's just disrespectful. It's only talking to Shabbat. And finally, since we don't have that much time left, another way you can do it, make sure, is to daven in the same place. Look at the pasuk. Vayashkim Avram Babokri El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham Espene Hashem. He returned to the same place he was yesterday. Yesterday was full of hope, optimism. Today is full of pessimism and fatalism because everyone's dead. Different emotional states, but you come back to the same place. Amr Reb Chelbo, Amr Reb Huna, Soros Gimel. Whoever has a Makom Kavua when you daven, he's a disciple of of Avram's God. And when you die, you're eulogized, and they say, Chasim, Mitalmido Shel Avram Avinu. You're a disciple of Avram, because Avram is very makbid on Makom Kavua. What, the other Avos were not? The answer is that Avram's whole distillation of tefillah was space awareness. Yeah, we'll see Yitzchak's tefillah, we'll see Yaakov's tefillah later. And space awareness is enhanced by returning to the same place. I've davened every Yom Kippur for the last 35 years in the same place, roughly. So it takes me 30 seconds to lock into the Yom Kippur spirit because I have all the memories flooding my consciousness. So there are two messages I want you to carry from this Makom Kavua conversation. One is this year and one is the rest of your life. Let's start with the rest of your life first. It's now 10 years from now. I meet you on a street in hopefully Petach Tikva and Haifa. Maybe it's Johannesburg or Melbourne. I say, what are you daven on Shabbos? I want that to be a one-word answer. There's an affliction in our world, and it's called the smorgasbord Shabbos experience. Your grandfather or great-grandfather in Europe davened every single tefillah of his entire life on the same bench next to the same people. And even if he didn't have any kavana, his tefillah was framed by that space encounter with Hashem because he came back to the same place and sat next to the same people. And today, in today's world, to be a minion hero, you have to be an acrobat. Because you have to get up early and catch the early minion, go to work and catch a mincha during the winter and catch a late marav when you come home. And last night I came home, between everything happened in my life, the last marav was 11 o'clock. And I dragged my tired body out of 5 to 11 across town to get to marav. And I pretty much have a sedentary life. You imagine people that are constantly on the run. So unfortunately, in today's world, to succeed at minion, it's a little hodgepodge, patchwork. Finally, Shabbos comes. And now it's Shabbos, and you have the chance for 5 tefillahs, mincha, maariv, Shabbos, Musaf, Mincha says, five tefillos with the same people, on the same bench, in the same space. Okay. And you're going to squander that because it's 5 minutes closer or 10 minutes further or it's a little inclement weather or you like the kugel in one place and the kugel in the other place? It's so small-minded. Now, there are times you have to daven in different places, a simcha, someone's not feeling well, all sorts of reasons you need to make a minyan. And I'm not in any way blaming people who don't, but I'm just encouraging you. One day a week, taste what tefillah is supposed to be like. One day a week, center all your tefillahs within the same group of people and in the same space. And if I'm telling you one day a week for the rest of your life, well, that's why. If you ask me, Rebbe, what's the difference between yeshiva minyan and the 7:20 or the 7:40? After all, I could sleep later and still make it, or I could sleep late and get extra time at night. It's a long list of reasons, and I'll be happy to share them with you. But at the top of that list is training yourself what a makom kavo is, because when you walk into the 7:40 minyan, you don't have a makom kavu. I don't just mean where you're sitting. You don't know the people. You're not part of that community. You're just putting a big check in a box. I did chachos this morning. I did it. That's all it is. It's just snapping your fingers. I did it. Calms your conscience. You know anyone there? You have space that you sit through all the time. You walk into yeshiva. This is your community. These are your people. These are your teachers. This is your place. You spent 10, 12 hours there the day before. You'll spend 10, 12 hours there the next day. You're at the point now where things of value justify sacrifice. And if you aren't able to pull off that trick, you spiral. It's a death spiral. You have to be able to say, no, it's harder, but it's worth it because it gives me meaning, and I can't get meaning if I just take the easy, leisurely approach. I can't always take the path of least resistance and hope to succeed. I've got to step up. I've got to stick to my guns, whether it's my values, whether it's my effort, whether it's my sacrifice. So that's why Avraham is a champion of Makom Kavua. And that's why Avraham's tefillah is described as Amida. So another 2 hours, think about this share. And forget all the words you're going to say. Just spend 5 minutes thinking about Hashem during Shemoneh Esrei, and 15 minutes thinking about Hashem in a larger sense, or your life, or Shavuos, what Shavuos means to you. Don't talk, don't use your phones, don't read, don't learn Torah. Just, I promise you, as odd as it sounds, if you're successful at tefillah, you'll be even more successful at life. I don't just mean spirituality, I mean just focus. Can you spend 15 minutes being quiet and thinking about something? Or you constantly need music and YouTube and videos and conversation and distraction. And... okay, Jerry had a question. Okay, we're all going to run. Okay, yes.
Do you think the Makom Kavua for tefillah should be different throughout? What will we learn?
No. The Gemara says you should daven where you learn for different reasons. I think in yeshiva, if you happen to learn on the rampa, and it's hard and it's tight, so a lot of boys have a Makom Kavua for davening to be more part of the action. So if you learn on the rampa and you want to find a place for davening in the main area, you certainly ask one of the Madrichim. They can help you find places where Kolo guys who have children can't daven with tefillah, or a Bottom who can't come to tefillah. So there's plenty, plenty of space. I know there are a couple of spaces near me. If you want, you can sit near me. Ellie Weltman sits near me. I think there's one space near me. But okay? Have a good day, everyone.